This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's come aboard.
Happy Tuesday to you, North America. The mothership has connected. Welcome aboard. It's the 3 hour zero gravity gala. GA with you from the CBS Sports Radio studios in New York City, broadcasting to affiliates nationwide and north of the border. Anchorage to Atlanta, Chicago to Sheboygan, Kalamazoo, and Waterloo. We are on the air.
But they listening, D.A. Everything we saying, D.A. Everything.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. How is everybody doing today? Thanks so much for dropping on by. Good show coming up for you. We've got college football insider Pete Thamel, who will join us coming up here 1 hour from now from Yahoo Sports. Let's talk about where Ohio State stands after getting drilled by Purdue over the weekend and the college football playoff race and how that looks, plus Bama and LSU coming up. A lot to get to with Pete Thamel 1 hour from now. The Cowboys get a number one wide receiver, but was the cost too high? We'll discuss the Amari Cooper trade coming up in about 16 minutes from now. Isn't Le'Veon Bell supposed to be back at this point? What's going on in Pittsburgh? We'll discuss college football scheduling. I've got a great theory that I just read about that I loved. Lottery system. And is Urban Meyer losing his mind? Plus, it's a Trash Tuesday this morning, so we are absolutely wall-to-wall locked in. So hit us up on the phones on any of those stories, or including last night's Monday night football game, Giants and Falcons, at 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And Trash Tuesday, certainly send us your trashes throughout the morning on Twitter or on Facebook at facebook.com/TheDA Show. And I'll read those throughout the day on a Trash Tuesday.
What you think about that, DA?
I think it's mandatory in a day like today. Absolutely mandatory. We, of course, begin with last night's game, Falcons and Giants. And the Falcons win in an ugly game. The New York Giants must be the only team in the NFL that can make the Falcons defense look like the Doomsday defense or the Steel Curtain or the Purple People Eaters. The Falcons defense gives up gobs of yards and points to everybody. I mean, everybody. And here was the Giants crawling their way through a couple of field goals for almost the entire game. Now, look, they have problems across the board. Offensive line is problematic. I think the energy on offense is really lackadaisical. At times, I think the play calling is silly. But mostly, more than anything, that plagues the Giants' offense is an overall lack of confidence and execution with Eli Manning. Eli lacks all of the vigor that he used to have. He is second-guessing himself on every play. He does not trust his offensive line, understandably so. Does not trust his arm. Does not trust his decision-making. And so he constantly takes the conservative out. He's constantly checking down. And last night, even though Odell finishes with good numbers, what this is about is Eli understanding he's got a combustible wide receiver that he is, I think, leery of and worried about venting about, probably hear this from Odell or the coaching staff constantly, and is now overcompensating for him last night. And yet there's still a fourth down where Eli is rolling out. The play is designed for Odell. Odell has his man beat to the corner, and Eli still doesn't throw it there and decides to throw against the grain into triple coverage. I'll say this once, I'll say it again. Eli's not the only problem of the New York Giants, but he's the biggest problem. The Giants have one more game before their bye week against Washington. They are 1-6. After their bye week, is it time for Eli to sit the bench? It is where we begin your cold open.
13 seconds to go. Manning just lobs one left for Beckham. Makes the catch back at the end zone, and he's got it for the touchdown. I don't know how he caught it, but there's only 5 seconds remaining.
Just not executing enough, whether it's across the board, whether it's on third down, whether it's in the red zone. There's some good plays, there's some good things, but just overall, just got to clean some things up.
I don't believe it!
The most amazing, sensational, dramatic, heartrending.
It's DA's top story.
Here he goes.
It's your cold open.
Yeah, that's a wild oversimplification by Eli Manning. We just have to clean stuff up. I mean, they just emotionally are not in it. That was Bob Papa, Giants radio on the call. You can see from a confidence standpoint. You can see from an emotional standpoint. You can see from an energy standpoint. They don't believe in Eli. And Eli's not giving them much reason to believe. And it is underscored because Odell is so combustible and he's so emotional and he acts out so much that there's always this center, there's always this attention on, how does Odell feel about that? How is he going to react to this? But the fact is, Eli is just not effective. He is just not effective. And would another quarterback also have issues with that offensive line? But he also have issues with trying to placate an emotional guy like Odell? Sure. Would there also be issues with a brand new head coach? Sure. But Eli provides no confidence anymore for the Giants. And so if I were the Giants, this is what I would have decided by now. This is the final year of Eli Manning, unless at very best, he comes back next year to babysit my rookie quarterback. There cannot be any more plans moving forward that Eli is a solution. You have to chalk up this year, you're 1-6. Fine. And then what you have to do is say in the offseason, we must identify a young quarterback. Now, perhaps that's Kyle Laletta, who you drafted in the fourth round at Richmond last year, and maybe he's the guy you try to groom. I would say you go back to the drawing board and have to draft a guy this upcoming April. But either way, you can no longer believe that Eli Manning is a solution. And so he's here for the rest of this season and then to babysit next year at best. At best. So what you do is you earmark the day Eli is no longer going to start for you this season and you get Laletta reps. The campaign is over. The season is done. What are you trying to accomplish anymore this season? The only thing you can do is see if Laletta has a spark. See if Laletta has an ability. That's the only thing you can do now. And so perhaps that is after the bye week. I don't think they're going to go for a full 8 games with a rookie quarterback. Maybe that's after Thanksgiving. Maybe there is a point of the schedule you say that's a good part to do it. That's a final month or 5 games or an opponent we feel good about. But you cannot look at last night and Pat Shurmur mouthing on the sideline, throw it to Odell, and he throws it to a backup tight end in triple coverage. You can't have your head coach constantly on the sideline, openly questioning the quarterback and how he's executing, and have anybody in that huddle follow. And here's the thing. Eli has had a great career. I don't believe he's a Hall of Famer. I know he's got two championships. People always fall back on that. He's going to have good passing number as well, but everybody in this era has good passing numbers. My point is, you're putting in Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, and Drew Brees, no doubt about it. You're probably putting in Ben Roethlisberger as well. That's five quarterbacks from this era before you even get to Eli. You can't put in every quarterback of this generation. To me, Eli's on the outside looking in, but either here nor there, he's had a great career. So you don't want to embarrass him. You don't want to humiliate him. You don't want to screw this up. I get that. But when you look at production, execution, and confidence in the quarterback position, nobody in that huddle believes that Eli is still the right guy. And the Giants made their bed because they came into this season saying, we fixed the offensive line, Nate Solder. We fixed running back Saquon Barkley. We re-signed Odell. We've got weapons. Eli will be fine. We don't need a backup. We don't need anybody to take over the reins. So, Laletta, you sit and watch. And Alex Tanney, you're nothing but a clipboard holder. The Giants made their own bed by not seeing, as I've pointed out time and time again, Eli's game doesn't age well. Greg Maddux's game aged well. From a quarterback position, Eli did the opposite. He can't scramble and make plays with his feet or break tackles like Ben Roethlisberger. He does not have a super quick release like a Phillip Rivers. He's not maniacal about his health and remaining at the top of his game like Tom Brady. And he doesn't have an overall mastery of an offense like Drew Brees. And you now change head coaches on him. This is the third head coach in 4 years. This was bound to look like this. As for the Falcons, I can't tell you that's anything of note. I mean, it's nice that Matt Ryan is able to spread the offense around last night. 379 yards, a touchdown. They really won that game going away. I know it looked close at the end, but that's garbage time touchdowns by the Giants. But the Falcons are 3-4, and I need to see far more than that to make me believe that they're back into the playoff hunt. The good news for them is they've got three games coming up that they should win if they played their best football, that they're better than their opponent. They're in Washington, at the Browns, home to the Cowboys. They could win all three of those if they played their best football. And then suddenly they're 6-4, and I can pay attention. But at 3-4 with the Falcons and how they've been, it wouldn't surprise me at all if they come out and lose to Washington, lose to Cleveland, go 1-2 in this spot, and they're still two games under 500 then at the midway point of the season and beyond, at which point, nah, I can't take you seriously in the playoff race. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. It's Trash Tuesday. We'll get to our trashes next hour here on the show. When we come back, a huge trade in the NFL. Amari Cooper is now a member of the Cowboys. Dallas gives up a number one. A lot of people think Dallas got fleeced by John Gruden. Did they? I'll give you my thoughts next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
I ate the sandwich in the studio, and that's it.
He used you for a meal, yeah. Knowing he had already eaten breakfast. He used you.
You're a liar, because I ate the sandwich here, and that's it. And that's all I'm going to say about it. It's all fake news.
That was wrong by Pete. Bad guy.
It's a smear job because of my record. That's what it is. People want to take me down.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Breakfast Sandwich Gate has ripped apart this show for 2 weeks now, and finally Pete the Body Bellotti gets to speak in the PGP and give his side of things. So check it out, the Permission Granted Podcast, the show within the show about the show is available right now. Go to iTunes and search Permission Granted. You'll find it there. Also on the normal DA Show iTunes feed, and it's available on demand at our website, daoncbs.com. It's a Trash Tuesday. Get in your trashes by hitting me up on Twitter, DA on CBS. The Dallas Cowboys trade a number one draft pick, a first rounder, for Amari Cooper. I have been incredibly critical of John Gruden to this point in time. When it comes to Khalil Mack, I hated that trade because you gave up the best pass rusher, the best pure pass rusher in the NFL for a pair of first rounders. And the idea that you'll find another Khalil Mack with those two draft picks is slim to none. You already had the guy who's the best in the NFL, who's in his prime, who's not injury prone, who is a leader in the locker room. There is only a finite amount of guys like Khalil Mack that come out of college and into the NFL draft every 10 years. You got him. You don't trade J.J. Watt or Von Miller or Khalil Mack in their prime because you won't find another one of those. John Gruden can be there for 10 years. They'll never find another Khalil Mack because he is the best at what he does. The best, without any red flags. So to me, it doesn't matter how many draft picks you get because you're not going to be able to find that guy again. For Amari Cooper, though, I think this is a steal for the Raiders. I applaud John Gruden for getting a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper. Because the fact is, Amari's not the best at what he does. Amari's not consistent. Amari's not always healthy. You can find Amari Cooper again. You can't find Khalil Mack again. And to get a first-round draft pick for him is a steal by the Raiders. Look, Amari Cooper had a really good first two seasons in the NFL. Really good. And that second season in 2016 was when Oakland got to the playoffs and Derek Carr got injured, and it seemed like the Raiders were the next really good young team in the AFC that could perhaps become a young contender to knock off the usual suspects of the AFC like the Patriots or the Steelers. But since those first 2 years, Amari has been wildly inconsistent and unproductive. Last year, he played in 14 of the 16 games and only caught 680 yards. He only had 48 catches. This year, he's played in 6 games for the Raiders. He has only 280 yards with 1 touchdown. And even his first 2 seasons were good, but they weren't Julio Jones or Odell Beckham or even A.J. Green. His first 2 seasons were a little over 1,000 yards rookie year and 1,100 yards year two. We all know what Amari Cooper is, or at least was. When he was young in his first 2 seasons, Amari Cooper was a really good, dependable target that at times could create the big play, but certainly wasn't overly dynamic like some of these other wide receivers we see today. He's not Antonio Brown. He is not Odell. He is not Julio Jones. Good, but not at that level. But the last 2 years, the evidence is he's even worse than that. So to give up a first-round draft pick is just too much. And what the Dallas Cowboys did was they had to deal from a position of weakness. They came into this season figuring, we'll put it together. We'll slap it together. We don't need Dez. And Jason Witten retired. And so we're going to put it together, tape it together, Tavon Austin and Allen Hurns and Cole Beasley, and we'll figure it out. Well, what do we find out? That they didn't figure it out. That there isn't a legitimate number one on that roster. Dak Prescott's not good enough to make any of those guys better than they already are. And so the Cowboys looked around and said, oh, crap. This was too steep a price to pay for Amari. Because not only is he not a first-round draft pick type caliber guy right now in his career, you don't have the quarterback that can elevate his game. This doesn't make sense from a Cowboy standpoint. On top of it, you get him for next year under contract, and he's pretty expensive. But then after that, you got to pay him. You're going to have to pay DeMarcus Lawrence in this offseason. Pro Bowl pass rusher. The Cowboys can't let him go. And now Dak and Zeke are going to come up in the next couple of years as well. So on offense, are you prepared to pay Dak and Zeke and Amari, and on defense, DeMarcus Lawrence and others? Is that where you want to spend your cash on a wide receiver that was good in his first 2 years, not great, and the last 2 years have been wildly underwhelming? The answer is no. There is nobody else in the NFL that would have traded a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper. None. And so in that way, the Cowboys overpaid. The Cowboys overpaid. Is Amari Cooper potentially the best wide receiver they'll have on the roster? Yes. But you spend that first rounder in the offseason, in the draft, on a cheaper, better version of Amari Cooper. Because as I said, you can find Amari Cooper in the draft. You can't find Khalil Mack in the draft. And I know what you'll say. Well, DA, they found Amari Cooper, or they found Khalil Mack in the draft. Yes, that's a generational player. That's once every 7 to 10 years you draft, that guy's available to you. Not Amari. So I think the Cowboys wildly overpaid. And I give John Gruden this. John Gruden has now amassed, by trading away all of the guys that was on the roster, 3 first-round draft picks in addition to his 2 first-round draft picks over the next 2 years. They will have 5 first-rounders between 2019 and 2020. 5 of them. You know, it's a good job. They'll have 3 first-rounders in April and then 2 first-rounders in April 2020. I think what John Gruden did when he took over the job, he walked in, he thought Derek Carr was good, he started working with Derek Carr and realized, Derek Carr's not good, and then started saying, we can't get anywhere with Derek Carr, and so now we strip this down. Now we sell off all the parts. Now, here's the problem. While I give John Gruden credit for amassing these firsts, there is no evidence he can actually draft quality players. Did you see his last 5 drafts in Tampa? Not good. So Gruden can have the picks, but now he's actually got a hit on them. And let's make no mistake, this is a Gruden call, not a Reggie McKenzie call. Reggie McKenzie drafted all of these guys that he keeps trading away or discrediting in the media. How do you feel if you're Reggie McKenzie? You took over a Raiders situation that was a disaster. That was the later Al Davis years, and then they were going through that turmoil and the transition period. They had all these terrible contracts and overpaid veterans. That was the Justin Tuck and all of those Maurice Jones-Drew, terrible veteran contracts laid out all over the place. And what Reggie McKenzie was entrusted to do is get us out of salary cap purgatory. Get us out of this hell. So he strips it down to the bare bones. He builds it back up. He drafts Derek Carr. He drafts Khalil Mack. He drafts Amari Cooper. Now they've got something. Now they win 10 games. Now they're in the playoffs, and there's this nice young core. And Gruden comes in and goes, nope, he sucks. We don't need him. Nope, we don't need that guy. Why'd you draft him? He's a bum. He's terrible. And we just burn it to the ground. Could you imagine being Reggie McKenzie watching? You were entrusted and actually did a good job of turning around the Raiders, who were 2-14 and 4-12 and 5-11 forever. And everything you just did, he just lit a match to in the first 6 months. It's got to feel good, huh? 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. Cowboys ain't making the playoffs with Amari Cooper. Sorry. Not a playoff team this year, even with Cooper. Thus, I think it was a far overpayment. Huge overpayment. When we come back here on the show, a little sound check, your best audio of the day. How about LeBron falling to 0-3? How about Jim Harbaugh discussing that Michigan State dust-up over the weekend, still going after the Spartans? And Manny Machado, public enemy number one, on a heated past with the Red Sox as he goes into the World Series tonight. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
Good morning, sir. I'm officially a D-alien. I heard you say that the other day, and I found your show about a year ago, and I'm just in love. You guys are awesome.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. Happy Trash Tuesday to you. Hey, you know what? There's so many ways you can listen to the show, even on your phone. If you're outside of your normal listening area or just want to take us on the go, stream us using the CBS Sports app. Listen on radio.com or on Apple Music. That's all available on your phone or any device. And watch the show at watchda.com.
All right.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. 855-212-4227. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. 15 minutes. You could save 15% or more on car insurance. Got to tell you, the boys are banged up this morning. Mraz and Jay Bitterberman, a.k.a. Better Berman, traveled down to the ATL, the dirty, for Giants and Falcons last night. Whew. Not only did they have a big couple of days with the drinky drinks.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
They watched the Giants get their butts handed to them and then had a late night Waffle House post-game run last night. Mraz likes to overshare, and so he shared a picture of him and Berman at the Waffle House ordering.
Fat.
Those guys look like they got a dump truck driven over them.
Garbage!
Whoa. That is as gruesome, as grisly as I've seen those two dudes in a long time.
Hefty.
It is today's Trash Tuesday picture. So if you go to our Twitter page, DA on CBS, you can respond to that picture with who or what you are trashing, and I will read those throughout the morning, also available on Facebook. When I saw this on my Instagram feed last night at Damon Amendo, I said, whoa, these guys have had a long day.
Nom, 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 nom.
It began prior to noon, having beers in advance of the SunTrust Ballpark, home of the Braves tour.
Slob.
They then found themselves in some type of tailgate for free after they had brought in their own beers anyway. And it continued into the game because apparently they sell $5 beers at Falcons games. And I think Mraz had on the schedule to eat Chick-fil-A not once but twice over the course of the day. And then wrapped it up with a late-night Waffle House. And oh, by the way, the Giants played one of the most ugly, grotesque games of recent memory. So when they finally got to Waffle House, they looked like a marching band had marched over them for like 2 miles. So you can check out that picture by simply going to our Twitter page, DA on CBS, or on Facebook, facebook.com/TheDAShow.
It's a disgrace!
You could say that again. And I'm sure Mraz will give us some type of incredible Giants meltdown tomorrow, unless he's just a broken man. That could be the case as well. Could absolutely be a broken man where he's got nothing left to give.
I want good football, DA. I want good football.
You ain't getting it, bud. You ain't getting it, big boy. You like that, big boy? You just paid money to fly down there, stay in a hotel, eat and drink all weekend. You just spent money to watch that hot garbage.
I can't take this. Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's get to your best audio of the day. It is time for sound check.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Let's begin with LeBron James. After the Lakers squander a six-point lead in overtime, fall to the Spurs, 143-142 in OT. And now the Lakers are 0-3.
I know what I got myself into. It's a process. I get it. And we'll be fine. So, you know, I didn't come here thinking we were going to be, you know, blazing storms, you know, right out the gate. It's a process, and I understand that. So, you know, the game is, you know, frustrating not to get the win, but I've showered and I'm good now.
I'm showered. I'm good. I feel better after a shower as well. I don't know what it is, but just after a shower, no matter how you feel, you just end up feeling a little bit better, a little cleaner. Wash the stink off yourself.
I've showered and I'm good now.
Hey, I'm with you, LeBron. The Lakers gave up 143 points in regulation and just overtime. That's a lot of points for a team that doesn't have Kawhi Leonard anymore. My goodness. And how about DeMar DeRozan with his new team, 32 points last night and 14 assists to go along with eight rebounds, rather. DeRozan had a wonderful game, and I don't think the Spurs are going to be able to compete for championship. Kawhi is one of those next-level athletes, next-level players, but DeRozan has paid dividends and will pay dividends, I believe, all season. I always think that DeRozan, in the right situation, and it was a good situation in Toronto, but one of the more underrated players of the NBA, and I think Pop's going to get a lot out of him. Again, 32, 14, and 8 in last night's win by the Spurs. Jim Harbaugh, after the Michigan State dust-up over the weekend. Michigan State normally locks arms and walks the length of the field, the width of the field. They lock arms and then walk the length of their field at home. There was a couple of Wolverines players trying to warm up, and they just kind of barreled over them, kind of like what it looks as though Mraz and Berman had done to them in Atlanta last night. And so one of the Michigan players was closed the line. Another one had his headphones popped off.
You know, Michigan State locked arms and used every inch of the field in their walk with the attempt of, you know, going through or over our guys in a physical manner. So, you know, to call that unsportsmanlike or to call that Bush League is putting it mildly. That could have been a real unfortunate incident.
You know, I think both teams were looking for trouble here, and that's how this stuff ends up happening. And I understand that there's a lot of animosity. I understand the rivalry. I understand holding your ground and not giving an inch, but let's face it, both coaches don't like one another. That seeps into the players not liking one another. That seeps into nobody wanting to give their ground, and things like this happen because of the way that they're coached. It does. Now, Jim Harbaugh wants to pick fights with teams, and that's fine as long as you win the fights. And the fact is, Michigan State has won most of those fights over the last 10 years. And Michigan has oftentimes faltered after playing Michigan State, oftentimes because it is such a physical game and physical rivalry. So let's see. Michigan wins 21-7 over the weekend. If the Wolverines continue playing well after this, then to the victor go the spoils. But Harbaugh wants to pick fights with teams and coaches and programs. And until you win those games, I think you sound very hollow. And he won that game on Saturday. Good for him. But too often, Harbaugh has not won those games. And finally, Manny Machado, who of course played his entire career in the Baltimore Orioles organization, has had a number of contested moments and combustible moments against the Boston Red Sox. Now, as a member of the Dodgers, he will play Boston yet again, this time for the World Series.
That's old history. I'm a Dodger now. I'm here to win a World Series, and that's all that matters right now.
Does it bother you if people say you're a dirty player?
I play hard for my ball club, and I do whatever I can to win ball games. And, those are the only things that we can control as baseball players.
Have you talked to Dustin Pedroia lately?
No. We're not friends, so.
So we remember Machado versus Pedroia and Red Sox Orioles. This is where Machado loses me. I play hard for my club. You just admitted that you don't hustle. You just admitted that. You can't one week say, yeah, you know what? I'm not really into playing that hard. At least not when I don't want to. And then say, oh, I always play hard for my club. Not, you can't, no. That's not how that works, Machado. Look, the Red Sox are the better ball club. The Red Sox have a better team top to bottom. The Red Sox lineup is far more, it's far more productive than the Dodgers lineup. And you know, I think the Red Sox should win this series. I'm taking Red Sox in six. But the Dodgers have a little mojo here. And the mojo is you have Clayton Kershaw lying in winter towards the end of his career, maybe the end of his Dodgers career, with one gasp at trying to win a championship. And you know he's a proud dude. For two games, two starts, can he put the team on his back and shut down those bats? You have that in your favor. Because he knows he's not going to get many more of these chances, and this is what he has lived for. And number two, a little karmic history. 30 years since the 1988 Los Angeles Dodgers did what they're going to try to do to the Red Sox, to the all-powerful Oakland A's. The A's would win three straight pennants. The A's were the Bash Brothers and Eckersley and Dave Stewart and just power from top to bottom. Ricky Henderson, one of the best offenses of that generation, and the Dodgers were an afterthought. They shouldn't have even been there. They upset the powerful New York Mets in the 88 NLCS, and then Hershiser was a bulldog of all bulldogs. They did it once 30 years ago. Does karma happen again for them 30 years later? Tonight, game one of the World Series. Tomorrow, we'll react to that one. That's your sound check. 855-212-4CBS. Michael's on the road listening to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike?
Hey, listen, I want to talk about the Cowboys.
Yes, sir.
A little bit. I think the Cowboys wasted a first-round draft pick on taking Amari Cooper because I think it's about time that even though Dak Prescott had a fantastic rookie season, he is not the quarterback of the future. I think that it's time for the Cowboys to realize that he's not the man, and they would have been better off saving that first round pick and trying to get a quarterback for this coming season.
Well, you know, you could save that first round draft pick and even believe in Dak Prescott, but try to find a wide receiver that's as good as Amari Cooper or better. That's not an impossible task. You also get a cheaper version of Amari Cooper if you draft that kid, which helps out when you want to pay Dak and you want to pay Zeke and you want to pay DeMarcus Lawrence. I would have not traded a one for Amari Cooper. If you said they can get him for a three, yeah, I'm doing that. That's fine. A two, I'm leery on because I don't have a quarterback that I think is going to elevate his game. Look at, he has not been all that productive the last 2 years with Derek Carr, and I don't think that Dak Prescott is as good as Derek Carr. But at number one, I agree with you, far too rich for my blood for Amari Cooper, even if you think Dak Prescott is your franchise guy. Jordan's in North Carolina, listening on the CBS Sports app. Jordan's a Trash Tuesday. Who are you trashing?
Eli Manning.
Okay, why?
But I mean, he plays really good. But you know, when I watched the game. Did you watch the game last night?
Oh, unfortunately, yes.
I mean, they could at least have tried, though. You know,
could have tried. What do you mean?
I went for the Falcons, but you know, I think the next three games. When you said that earlier, and I was listening, the next three games, I hope they win those games.
You hope the Giants win those games?
I mean, I hope they don't. I don't know. I'm gonna watch though.
You're gonna watch them?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they're not gonna give you much to watch. Unfortunately, they're a pretty ugly offense.
Yeah.
Well, those are 3 hours you'll never get back in your life, unfortunately, watching that game last night.
Crazy.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate the phone call there, Jordan.
Beep, beep.
Sanitation just arrived.
Get him out.
That's trash. Eli Manning. Whew. Jordan is just knocked over by how awful that game was last night, and he's starting to pick himself up off the mat today. If I'm the New York Giants, I give Eli an honorable exit. I know I'm not going to finish the season with him. Perhaps I go to Kyle Laletta after the bye week. They've got Washington coming up next weekend, then a bye. Maybe I go to Laletta after the bye and then make sure Eli gets his week 17 start. One last start, perhaps, in front of the home fans of the last home game of the season. But you ain't getting better with Eli Manning. That's for darn sure. That's for darn tootin'. When we come back here on the show, let's talk college football. Bama, LSU, Ohio State with some quote-unquote friction. Let's do it next with Pete Thamel, Yahoo Sports. This is DA, CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.